So we're on the run up to Christmas, and every Christmas, the Reed family, which is obviously my family, we make a pilgrimage to Little Cawthorpe every year, okay? And it's the only day of the year where I wear wellies. You're not going to see it at any other time because I don't have those really cool hunter's wellies. Okay, I have like, you know, the £2 ones from Boys, right? So, and I've only worn them twice and they're already falling to bits. That's when you know you've got bad wellies, isn't it? So we kind of stick the wellies on and we get the kids in the car and we take two cars with us. We go out to Little Cawthorpe and we find the place that sells the real trees. And we chop our own tree down. It's the only day of the year I'm a country bumpkin as well, right? But we chop like the tree down and then we bring it home and decorate it. And we have this kind of thing every year in our house where I will go and I will pick the perfect tree and math will tell me it's too big. Okay? Shh. Math will tell me that it's too big. All right? I have the mic. I have the power. And I'll go, no, it's not too big. I am telling you, this will fit perfectly in our alcove. And he's like, Joe, it is too wide. It's not going to, math, it will fit. And this kind of conversation ensues. And now we've got kids, they're running around the field going, and what about this one? And we got there yesterday, and you kind of went into this field for these Christmas trees, but on the edge of the field were these massive, I don't know what kind of trees they were, but they were huge trees. And Ollie went, I'll have that one. Well, I know. No, you won't. And but every year we get the tree home. We open the tree up in our lounge and I have to realize that my husband was right. It's not very often you'll hear me say that either, okay? But I have to realize he was right. And me and spatial awareness just doesn't happen, okay? It's why, like, I'm glad I have a car park space here because I never have to park in town, okay? It makes life a lot safer for all of you who drive. And so me and spatial awareness, it's just not very good. And yesterday we went and we, after Ollie wanted the massive tree that we told him he couldn't have, Ollie went and found, like, 8-foot trees going, can we have this one? We're like, Ollie, it won't fit in the room. Even I knew that, so it must have been massive, right? And so I picked this tree and yesterday, this really has not a lot to do with my message other than it's Christmas. But yesterday we got it home and I picked the perfect tree. Yes. I did. I went, this, thank you. It's a lot better than that, really. But I was like, okay, I said to Matt, this is the perfect tree. And we took it off. I'm like, you're not going to have to chop anything. He went, I think I just have to take that little bit. He couldn't like leave it. So he didn't chop any of it off. None of it needed chopping, but he still had to trim it a little bit just to, you know, because that's what we do every year. But like, it was so much easier putting this tree up because actually for once I got it right and we didn't have the spatial awareness argument that we normally have. So miracles do happen at Christmas. Okay, they do. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk to you from one sentence from the book of John. And as we're leading up to Christmas, one sentence from the book of John from the Message version of the Bible. It says this in John chapter 1, talking about Jesus. When it talks in John chapter 1 about the Word, it's talking about Jesus. So you could, you know, kind of don't cross out the word because you're not meant to change the Bible, are you? But it could say Jesus, okay? So it says this, the Word or Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love the way the Message puts it. Jesus became flesh and blood and he moved into the neighborhood. Christmas or Advent, as we're in now, is all about becoming and moving. For Christians, just like it was in the first place. A lot of us think that Christmas is about settling and stopping. But actually, if we're really followers of Christ, it's a massive time of year for us. Next week, we will probably hold the biggest attended service of the year. Because people come and they want to do carols and they want to see little kids sing away in a manger and all of that kind of stuff. And they'll come in for that. And I want to say to you, Christmas actually is not all about stopping and settling. It's actually about becoming and moving. Jesus became flesh and blood. I want to start there. Those two words, became and move, are the two words that I really want to look at this morning. Jesus became flesh and blood. Jesus chose to take on something that wasn't naturally him so he could meet people where they're at. Jesus is part of the Trinity. He is God, okay? There's God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. So flesh and blood is not who Jesus is, but it's who he chose to become. He chose to become something that wasn't who he was so he could meet people where they were at. He was part of the Trinity, but he chose to become a man. He chose to become a man because that's what we needed. If we wanted a relationship with God again, we needed someone to come and someone who would bridge the gap between us and God, and that was Jesus. So he became something that he naturally wasn't because that is what we needed him to become. Right. Do you know, Christmas has become sometimes a real selfish time when it's all about what we need. I was talking to someone the other day and they were talking about like the Boxing Day sales. And we do all this thing on Christmas, don't we? And we get all these presents and we eat all of this food and we shop like the shops aren't going to be open for like 3 weeks when actually they're closed for 24 hours. And then we get up on Boxing Day and we go and we spend a whole load more money on stuff that actually we don't need. It's just cheaper, so we're going to get it. And Christmas has kind of become that time of year where it's all about what I can get. Yep. And actually, it's nothing to do with it. Yeah. It's all about what we can give, and not what we can give as in materially, but what we can give of ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. Who we can become for someone else is what Christmas is all about. Who does someone else need me to be? We'll go and visit family over Christmas. Who do they need me to become to meet their need? Who do I need to become? We've got Matt's mum and dad coming and staying with us for Christmas. Who do I need to become, okay, to make this their best Christmas ever? What can I do? Who can I become? It might not be totally where my comfort lies, but actually for a few days, who cares? Because for 33 and a half years, this wasn't where Jesus was the most comfortable, yet he chose to become man because it's what we needed. Jesus was God, yet he chose to become limited when he came down onto this earth. Why would you choose, if you're the Son of God, to have limits put on you? Jesus, when he became fully man, he had the same limitations as you or I. He needed to eat, he needed to sleep. Okay, he needed to rest, he needed to work, he needed to do all the things that we need to do. Yeah. Why would anyone choose that? He chose it because he knew to win us, he had to experience life as we do and still be victorious. Right. Put a few things down that Jesus did so that he could empathize with you and I. He chose to experience tiredness. The Bible tells us quite often Jesus would go off by himself and he would pray. We're told that when the storm came up, when all the disciples were in the boat, Jesus was asleep at the bottom, okay? He chose to experience tiredness. So when he says to us in Matthew, come to me, all of you who are weary, he knows exactly what he's saying. And he knows exactly how he can help you because he's been through that. He couldn't say that with empathy without the experience of physical limitation. Jesus chose limitation because he knew that to win us, to win you, to win me, he needed to have done that. He chose to experience loss so that he can now give hope in the eternal. You know, we're told that when John the Baptist died, Jesus experienced that loss. Part of his family had died. When Lazarus had died, we're told Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Tells us that Jesus has experienced those things. And I don't know how you're entering the Christmas period, okay? I don't know how you're entering that. But if you are entering it having experienced loss recently or whenever, if you're entering this time of the year having experienced loss, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Might not have been the same circumstance, might not have been in the same way, but he chose to experience loss so he could give you an eternal hope. He chose to experience loss. So when you come to him and you say, God, how do I get through this? He goes, come on. And he can take you by the hand, even if it's not physically, emotionally, he can take you by the hand and say, I've been there. I know how it feels to lose someone. Yeah. He chose that. So that when you go to him with those things, He can come and go, I know how you feel. Come on, let's get through this together. Because I'm aware, so aware, that on everyone, you know, goes into the holiday time with huge cheer. For some of us, there's sadness. For some of us, it's a time where our loss becomes greater than maybe at any other time of the year. This morning, I want you to know Jesus experienced that. He could take you through it. So he could hold your hand and walk you through it this Christmas. He chose to experience loneliness. When he was on the cross, he cried out to God, why have you forsaken me? He chose to experience loneliness so that he can now say to us, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. You see, Jesus experienced something, so we, even though we may experience it, we always have something else to hold on to. So when I experience loneliness, when you experience loneliness, he can go, I know exactly how you feel, but you know what? I'm with you. Yeah. I might not always feel like I'm physically there, but I'm with you. You can bring that to me. I love the verse in Psalms where it says, God sets the lonely in families. You know, and here at Generations Church, that's what we're all about. God sets the lonely in families. It's why connect groups are so important to us. It's why, you know, when we meet together as church, we want it to be a place where anyone can come and feel like they're part of a family. Because do you know what? When loneliness sometimes sets in, Jesus knows exactly how it feels to be on his own. At the worst moment in his life, in his earthly life, he was by himself. Even God turned his back. He knows what that's like. And when you feel that, when you feel those things, know this, that Jesus became man and he knows how you feel. He became limited so we could know freedom. I love this. He limited himself so that I could know what it is to live free. So he was part of the Trinity but chose to be a man. He was God, yet chose limitation. And he is God, yet became part of a family. I don't know about you, sometimes when you think of family at Christmas, some of us will be like doing a jig and can't wait, and others won't be so much doing a jig and can't wait, okay? I don't know what your family is like. My family at Christmas is loud. And, you know, when we all get together, and it's just absolutely crazy. And I can do it for a day. And then I need some tranquility again. But Jesus experienced family life. And so whatever your experience of family life is, Jesus knows what it's like to be part of a family. Because although he was God's son, he was also Mary and Joseph's son. He was also the sibling of James. He was part of a family. He worked in his dad's business. He knew what it was like to have the overbearing mother. You know, we read the story of the wedding that Jesus went to before he started his earthly ministry. And they'd run out of wine and his mum Mary's going, whatever he tells you to do, you've just got to do it. And Jesus is, it says in one version, he turned to her and said, woman, my time has not, I don't know if he said it like that, but that's how it is in my head. You know, my time's not yet come. Mum, will you be quiet? I mean, could you imagine today being Jesus's mum? The Facebook posts that you could put about your child, okay, and it would blow the water with anyone else's Facebook posts, okay? You know when you see all the posts bigging up our kids, and I am all in for that, okay? But if you were Jesus's mum, you know, you want great booze at your party, invite my son along. From water, you will get wine. You won't even have to pay for it. I mean, can you imagine? They didn't have Facebook back then, so we're okay. Mary was fine. But I want to say to us today, you know, Jesus knows what it's like to be in that family environment. He knows what it's like. My guess is that although he lived a perfect life, my guess is he probably wouldn't have always got on with his sibling. We don't know much about Jesus' childhood. But I want to say this morning that, you know, he knows what it's like when you're kind of coming up to this time of year. I don't know what is in your mind about the next few weeks of your life. But Jesus knows. He chose to limit himself. He chose to become part of a family. Jesus, this Christmas, gets your family dynamics. He gets them. Whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, he totally and utterly gets them. You know, he gets the frustration, maybe not totally because they didn't have TV. When your granddad sits with the TV remote, with his arm over it, if your granddad was anything like mine, and he's put the worst program on the telly on, okay, and he sits there and you can't get the remote and he's fast asleep until you go to turn that TV over. And then he wakes up. Jesus, he gets what it is to be in family. He gets family dynamics. And whether yours is easy, whether it's difficult, whether there are arguments, whether it is peaceful, whatever it is, this Christmas, I want you to know he gets it. Because he became man so he could get it. He was God, and so there is a sense in which he got it anyway, but he became man so he could really, he could understand it from a human perspective as well as from a God perspective. So Jesus became. The thing I want to ask you today is, what can you become for someone else this year? What can you become? I'm not saying that we need to have a personality transplant, but maybe there are some things that you can begin to say to God. Maybe I need to be more patient, God. You know, with that member of the family or with that situation or with this day that, you know, I'm dreading. Maybe, God, I could become more compassionate for those around me who I might not even know very well. What can you become so that someone else can find God this year? What can you become? Jesus became a man. At the very first Christmas, Jesus became a human being. He joined us. He became flesh and blood so that you could know him. This Christmas, what can you become? And the second thing it says about him, it says he became flesh and blood and he moved into the neighborhood. I love just that whole picture that it gives. He moved into the neighborhood. He didn't stand outside it. He moved right into the middle of it. Sometimes we can stand outside of a lot of things where God's crying to us, will you just stand in the middle and be who I need you to be? Become who I need you to become. But his becoming meant that he had to move. He couldn't become flesh and blood and stay in heaven. He had to move and come down to earth. I remember quite a few years ago, I bought a house on Burley Crescent. And it was the second house I'd ever bought. And I bought this house by myself. And I can remember I moved into the house and I didn't know any of the neighbors, but I moved into the neighborhood. I'm not quite sure what they all thought about that after a few weeks. But I can remember on, I think it was something like the third day I was there, I decided to do youth at my house one Friday night. So the youth came and I was making chip butties for everybody and I had one of those spinny fans on my ceiling. I found one of the boys trying to spin round on it. Okay, we stopped that quite quickly. And they were all out in the garden and they were my garden wasn't massive, but they were playing football and just, you know, it was all over with by 9:30 and the next day or the day after I got a knock on the door from my neighbour. And she said, could I just talk to you about the noise level coming from your house on Friday? So I very quickly, I said, yeah, why don't you come in? Would you like a cup of tea? She was not interested in a cup of tea. I am telling you, this woman did not want a cup of tea. And so she says, no, I will stand here. It's like, okay. I says, okay, you can say whatever you need to say. I thought... She said, well, it was just way too noisy. That is not the kind of neighborhood that this is. And I thought, whoops. Wish I'd have known that about 3 months ago. I would not have bought the house. Okay. And she kind of, over the next few months, I kind of got to know what my neighbors were like. And I'm sure that they used to take a ruler out to their grass, like every week, just to check it wasn't too high. And then there was my grass. Okay, which, you know, if I laid down, you wouldn't have known I was in the garden. It was that tall, do you know what I mean? And so I kind of got to know about the neighborhood that I had bought a house in. And there were some things that I had to kind of do, but I couldn't buy that house. There was no point buying that house in Burley Crescent and still living in St. Michael's Road. I had to move everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, into
that house, or my lifestyle, everything had to kind of move to where I had bought the house. When Jesus became flesh and blood, he moved from heaven to earth. He didn't stay up in heaven and just kind of shout to us from the sky, okay? He moved everything. Everything was put, and he didn't even come to earth. Like, he didn't just kind of come as a man, okay? Because that would have been quite easy, hey? Do the 3.5 years, come down as a man, fall from the sky, and then go for it. No, he became a baby. He became the most vulnerable person. Babies are the most vulnerable people on the planet. You know, he became vulnerable. He became someone who had to be cared for by someone else. He experienced life, but to do that, he had to move from one place to another. To move house takes a lot of things, but the first thing it takes is to move somewhere, you need to leave something behind. When I sold my house at Burley Crescent, I think the neighbors had a party. But when I sold my house at Burley Crescent, there was no point living there but buying Eastfield Road. You have to move. You have to leave something behind. You have to walk away from some things. And this Christmas, my challenge to us is, what are we willing to walk away from? If we're going to become who God needs us to become, we're going to have to move away from some things. However much God knows everything, Jesus chose to move and leave heaven behind for a world that would not accept him, for a world that would reject him. He chose to do that. He chose to move. So what are you willing to let go of in order to become who you're meant to be and move into the place that God's got for you? What mindsets have become the norm in your life? That actually, to become who God needs you to be, you need to move away from those. Is negativity a norm? You know, when somebody talks about something, is the first thing you do is think of something negative. Is that the norm for you? Because you know what? God wants you to move that. God doesn't want that to be our norm. What actions do you need to leave and move on from? What places do you need to walk away from? To move forward may mean leaving something else behind, but it will mean along the way picking up some of the good stuff as well. So I say to us as a church, to move from where we are now into the place that God's got from us, maybe we're going to have to leave some things behind. Maybe we're not going to do things the same forever in a day. Maybe there's going to be some changes. Maybe God's going to do something different. But we've got to be prepared to leave the things behind that God doesn't want us to carry anymore. What do you need to move on from? Because moving will take leaving something behind. Moving also takes hard work. We're told that one of the top four most stressful things you can do in life is move house. It's one of the most stressful things, apparently, that you can do. Okay, moving is not an easy thing. It's hard work. You know, all that stuff that you've hoarded, and you've gone, I'll just shove that there for now. And you've never looked at it in 20 years. Okay? All that stuff that's, you know, when I look at our garage, I'm like, Lord, if we ever moved. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, when we look in the loft, God, if we ever, we've got to go through this. And then I realize most of the stuff isn't mine. So I kind of pass that job on to my husband. But I kind of look at all the places where we've shoved things and where we've hoarded things and all of that kind of stuff. And I think, actually, if we moved house, it would be traumatic. And not because we were moving house, just because we don't want to take all this stuff with us. Sometimes it's hard work to move on from where you are. Moving forward is not always easy, but if you're willing to put the hard work in, it will always be worth it. What do you need to move on from? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to say, actually, you know, coming into this Christmas season, into the end of the year, I am not taking this into 2017 with me. And I'm going to do the hard work that it's going to take to move forward. When we were doing the Bob Goff series in Connect, the first one that he did, he talked about Quit It Thursdays. Anyone remember that? Family Connect, come on, you did hear that. Okay, and I made the decision that up to Christmas, and it is Christmas now, so it's finished, okay? But but up to Christmas, I was not going to touch chocolate. That was my quit it Thursday. And I tell you, you know, like, I'll go through my day and all that kind of stuff, not really be bothered about chocolate until you say you're going to quit it. And then all of a sudden, that's all you want. It's all you want to eat. And so, like, I quit something. I had to move on. I had to leave something behind. It was not easy. And the thing is, that's not even a major thing to leave behind. But for me, that wasn't easy. Chocolate was part of my world. And I liked it. Okay? And but you know what I'm realizing? Actually, I've been healthier. I've felt a lot better. Maybe I shouldn't take that amount of chocolate into 2017 with me. Maybe something should change in me. You know, maybe I should begin to walk away from some bad habits that I've got into. And it's not easy. It's hard work. But the hard work is always worth it. Jesus had to work hard. He was in the family business till he was 30 years old. For 3.5 years then, he traveled around the then known world preaching the gospel and letting people know about God. And he healed people and he saw them set free. And then at the end of that 3.5 years, he was crucified and rejected by those he came to save. He worked hard. He worked hard to become who he was meant to be and to keep moving so that one day you and I could know him. So this morning, my question to us, this Advent, is who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Who is it God wants you to be? Who do you want to be? Are there things in your life that you need to get rid of so you can become who you need to become? And then the second thing is, are you willing to move on from some of those things that might hold you back? Are you willing to move forward, to do the hard work, to leave some stuff behind and to move forward, whatever those things are? Are you willing to do that to become who God wants you to become? Let's just bow our heads a moment. You know, maybe something we've said this morning has really resonated with you. But this morning, I want you to know Jesus became flesh and blood because God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. And so before we go any further this morning, if there's someone in here and you don't have that relationship with God, you might even not fully know what it means. But this morning, it's something that you want to start, something that you want to have. Just where you are, I'd just like you to raise your hand. We'd love to pray for you this morning. Let's give a few more seconds. Jesus moved into the neighborhood so that God could be close to you and near you. Okay, secondly, are you willing to become who God needs you to become? And are you willing to do whatever it takes to do that? Are you willing to become maybe what your family needs you to become this Christmas? Are you willing to become maybe what your neighborhood needs you to become? Are you willing to become what God needs you to be this Christmas? Are you willing to move and let go of some things so you can be who you're meant to be? If this morning you're with me and saying, yep, I need to begin to ask God about that. I need to begin to ask him. Maybe you don't know who you're meant to become, but you're prepared to begin to ask God that. You're prepared to begin to let go of a few things and begin to move forward with stuff. If that's you this morning, why don't you just stand where you are? I want to pray for you as we go into this season. You're going to become who you need to become. Jesus became and he moved. He became and he moved. He became flesh and blood and he moved to be near us. This morning, are we willing to become something that might take us out of our comfort zone and move to where we need to be who God's asking us to be. God, I thank you this morning for people all over this place stood to their feet. Lord, I pray this morning as we're getting into that Christmas time, Lord, I pray that you will show us the people that we need to connect with, that God, you'll show us those that, Father, we might need to change tack a little bit so that we can become what they need. Lord, I pray this morning that you will help us, God. Maybe there are things that we need to move on from. Maybe there are things in our own lives. It might be attitudes, Father God. It might be places, God. It might be habits. It could be a whole number of different stuff that we need to move on from and let go of so that we can become who we need to become. Lord, I pray for each one of us this morning that you will help us to move on from those things, that they will not hold us back. God, I thank you that you became flesh and blood, that you know how some are feeling in here this morning as we go into this holiday season. And Lord, I pray that God, as we've looked this morning at the fact that you know how we feel, you know what it feels like to be tired, you know what it feels like to have loss in your life, God, you know what it feels like to be lonely, you know all of those things. And so God, I pray that this season, God, our relationship with you will just take on a whole new form as we realize you've already been where we are. So God, I pray for each one of us in here that, God, we will become and we will move. God, that we will move forward in the things we need to move forward in, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.